is Texans Huddle, brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. And by Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into a very special edition of Texans Huddle. As we told you last week, we're on location most of the summer. Today, the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer, and I are not just holding these leaves of lettuce for nothing. We are at the Houston Zoo, starting out here in front of the giraffe exhibit. And this guy's chomping at the bit to get your lettuce, Mark.
Well, this is Nima over here, and I think Nima could block some field goals for the Houston Texans, no question about it. Gets a lot of leafy greens in the diet, no doubt about that either. And boy, this is fun being out here, Patty, because 4th of July weekend, what better place to celebrate than a true tradition, going to the Houston Zoo?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a lot of great stuff in the next 30 minutes. In fact, you mentioned 4th of July. We're going to check in with J.J. Watt, who made a trip to Afghanistan, met with the troops. We're also going to talk to David Brady, not the voice of the Houston Texans, but a voice of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I'm pretty sensitive about that, actually.
Yeah. Well, I'll make sure I stand between you guys.
Yeah, please do, because I'm liable to go off.
All right, a lot of great things going on this offseason. We had a chance earlier during OTAs and mini camps to get to know some of the new guys, and I kind of want to get your opinion and your thoughts on what you saw from DJ Swearinger.
Well, Swearinger is going to play. I mean, he's got to play. He's a second-round draft choice. You don't know about the health of Ed Reed, but even if Reed's healthy, I like Swearinger to push that depth chart and work his way into the lineup. And I don't know when it's going to happen. Shiloh Kao was running with the ones when they were out there at OTAs. But Swearinger's got a lot of talent, a very high ceiling. The coaches love him. He's going to find his way out of the football field this year. Remember, they play three safeties an awful lot in these sub-packages. So I see him working himself in, whether or not Ed Reed is healthy. So watch out for DJ Swearinger. He's going to be good.
Well, the reason I bring him up, to tie it in with our theme, he's a big Twitter guy. His Twitter handle is Jungle Boy. Check him out. You can also check him out. Right now, we had a chance to sit down and introduce you to him. I'm going to feed this guy.
With the 57th pick in the 2013 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select DJ Swearinger.
What did you think of when you thought of Houston and when you thought of Houston Texans?
I thought about that's a team that I said I wanted to be drafted to. You know, when people ask me, I'd be like Houston, Baltimore, or Jacksonville. And, you know, Houston was the main team that I wanted to go to just because it was a winning team. Ed Reed, the best safety in the game, with Dane Manning, one of the best safeties in the game also. And this is my chance to learn from the best and be on the best team and, you know, just try to help this team win the Super Bowl one step away.
So since you've been out here, and I know the time has been short, but what have you learned in this short period of time already?
I learned a lot. You got to be a pro, especially you got to know your craft every day. You know, you can't take any plays off. You got to be, the techniques got to be perfect. Your reads got to be perfect. Everything has to be perfect in order, you know, to be successful on this level. You got to be a pro. You got to take care of your body in every aspect. And, I've been learning that, and it's just every day I'm learning it every day, and I'm just keep learning.
And you said you're excited to come here to learn under guys like Ed Reed, and he obviously hasn't been out here yet, but is there anybody that you have sort of aligned yourself with that's kind of taken you under their wing?
Oh, yeah, Daniel Manning. I talk to D-Man every day, you know, just on tips and stuff that he sees that I can just steal from him. You know, when we're in film room, I watch him on film, to just try to steal some of his, you know, since he's been in the league for a while. And, I try to just, you know, steal some of his knowledge. Him and also Jonathan Joseph, you know, he plays corner a different position, but it's all, you know, all the knowledge is the same. You know, I just see it from a different perspective with him. But I learned from both of those guys.
How soon or how quickly or how much of an impact do you anticipate yourself making this first season?
Right away. You know, the day I stepped on this, you know, on this facility, I said I'm gonna be ready to play whatever the coaches want me to do. You know, whether it's playing safety, playing the dime position I've been working at, and special teams. I see myself making plays everywhere. So whenever my opportunity is called, you know, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to just compete every day, learn the playbook, and get in the extra hours and be ready for when my number's called.
You say you rap. You do your own stuff. You tell me a little bit more about rapping.
Recently I always used to just write lyrics, you know, whenever I just hear a beat, just start freestyling or something, and just write my own lyrics. But I never really took it serious till last year, you know, and I did a mixtape with Ben G, you know, Big Squad Monopoly artist, and we've been boys, you know, since my freshman year in college. So he's been telling me I needed to, you know, take the rap game, you know, bigger than what it is. But I was like, nah, I'm good, you know, I just do it for fun. So, but I eventually made the mixtape, you know, Don't Lie mixtape and That Pick and stuff. It's pretty nice mixtape to be, you know, my first mixtape.
Where can we find it?
Livemixtape.com and thatpick.com.
And it's on there? Okay, we'll pull it up. You give us a little sampling of something right now?
A little sampling? You gonna put me on the spot? Okay, I guess. I say, I got that old school pimping, plus I'm swagging like my daddy. Swinging lane, changing in my old school caddy, and I'm swerving, dodging traffic with my swag on automatic. You can look me in my face, and you can tell that I'm a savage. A little something, man.
All right, what about goals for you? Short, long-term goals?
I want to win a couple Super Bowls. And just be great, you know, be known as one of the best to ever play here, play the safety position. I just want to be known as one of the greatest players to ever play.
Well, from one rookie to another rookie, how about this guy at the Houston Zoo? Hey, stay away, veteran. All right, got to give him his due as well. But we're having fun with the giraffes today. We're going to have a lot of fun on the rest of Texans Huddle.
We absolutely are. We have to take a time out here first, though, but don't go away. We've got back plenty more to come from the Houston Zoo.
This portion of Texans Huddle is brought to you in part by Houston Community College, the official education partner of the Houston Texans.
This week's HCC Smart Decision goes to me for leaving Mark Vandermeer at the Flamingos as I go inside to wash some elephants. And welcome back to Texans Huddle. Joining me now is Rob, the trainer of these Asian elephants here at the Elephant Barn. It's time for their bath. And I know, let's just start off with a little bit of history. Bob McNair, Janice McNair, big supporters of the Houston Zoo, specifically the elephants. I know they're big elephant fans, if you can say that. These are Asian elephants. Tell us a little bit about them.
They're two main types of Asian and African elephants. We have Asian elephants here. We have seven. We have four females and three males. The elephant that we're scrubbing today is our oldest female. Her name is Mitai.
Okay, well, I guess we're going to give Mitai a bath, so show me what I have to do.
All right. So what we're going to do, I already got scrubbed some of her. I'm going to have you scrub her side here. So we're going to grab some brushes, and we're going to scrub the side of her.
Okay. Here I go. Wow. So how often do we do this? Every day?
We do it every day, yeah. Yeah, we do a lot of training here at the Houston Zoo. So this is all part of our training routine. We like to we separate everybody for breakfast, and then we like to work with everybody one-on-one. We do that for about 2 hours every morning, and then after that, they go out in the yard and they spend the rest of the day together as a herd.
Where is Mark when I need him?
Yeah, so are we waiting for him?
Yeah, he's coming. Side? Well, I don't think we're waiting for him for this.
Oh, okay.
Because Mark's hanging out with the flamingos. Now, does Mitai like this? Do they feel it? Do they know what's going on with them?
Yeah, definitely. Their skin varies quite a bit in thickness. Where you're scrubbing could be about an inch thick. Across the top of their back is a little over an inch. Other places, it's paper thin, but it's all very sensitive.
Now, how old is Mitai?
Mitai's 44.
44. And 8,000 pounds.
8,000 pounds, yep. They're very smart animals. They're very good at problem solving. So watching them work in the yard to figure out how to get hay or to figure out how to get produce that we put in the yard is pretty neat, but very intelligent.
All right. Well, Rob, thank you so much. It's been awesome hanging out here. I've got a little more cleaning to do, but as we go from Asian to maybe the Middle East, we're going to talk a little bit about J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt went to Afghanistan to hang out with the troops. We had a chance to sit down with him, and he shared some of his pictures.
This trip changed me in a way that I've always had appreciation for the military. I've always been extremely appreciative for everything they've done, and I've always been thankful that they're there for us and that they do the job for us. And this trip made it real. In this photo, we just got off the helicopter, and we're standing just inside the walls of where we landed. And these are a couple of the soldiers that met us on this base. And every time you fly, you have to be wearing your protective flak jacket and your helmet. So that's why we're wearing the heavy armor. And once you're safely inside the walls, you get to take it off. This was actually our first day in Kandahar. That's Von Miller, myself, and a couple of the soldiers. And we saw him playing flag football out there, so I tried to... I wanted to get a game going, and that was fun. We played for about 30 minutes, a little flag football, and we had a good time. They were really into it, which was cool. It was fun because it was actually competitive, and it wasn't like we were playing against some group of kids. These were grown men who were excited to play, and it was a lot of fun. We were supposed to play 7-on-7, but I'm pretty sure they had like 13 or 14 guys on the field, so it was a little bit unfair, but we had a lot of fun. We signed one or two autographs all the way over there. It was a lot of autographs, but that's one thing. If you never get tired of signing autographs for the folks in the military, because if you ever start to even question it for a second, you just think, what am I complaining about? I'm signing autographs, I'm taking pictures, and these people are putting their lives on the line. They're putting in all this time, all this effort, thousands and thousands of miles away from home, and I'm going to complain about an autograph? There's no chance. There's no way. We got to check out all their helicopters and all their machines, and it was pretty neat. This is a helicopter that I honestly did not believe that I would fit in. And it was really small, but very agile. And they said, no, you'll fit. Don't worry. We got some big pilots. And so I got in, and I did fit. It was pretty cool. But, I mean, a lot of times you would think, no, they wouldn't put you in something that they actually use, but... I was asking questions, and different helicopters would say, yeah, this one was just on mission yesterday, or this one's going out on mission tomorrow. And that makes it real. So now every single time I see two dead in Afghanistan or helicopter shot down in Afghanistan, it definitely hits me a lot harder than it did before. This is a great picture. This is the spot that we're standing. We're actually looking over this huge, vast plain, and they were telling us a story about this plane, and they were basically telling us that's where the Taliban started. That's where it originated from, and that's where it obviously had grown from. And they were telling us that if we were standing on that point, I believe it was 6 months earlier, that we would have been shot at. You would have heard just bullets being fired at you. But they had the whole area cleared out, and I guess because it was wintertime, in the wintertime it's a little more settled down. And that's Champ Bailey standing with me right there, and we're just looking off into the distance, and that was a cool day. It was a lot of fun. A little funny story about when we were standing right here. We were all standing up on this ledge, and the base is kind of down back behind us on the mountain. And they have a whole bunch of stuff down there. They have houses, they have their food, they have their shooting range and all this. And we're standing up here, and the guy is telling us a story about how there used to be gunfire, and like you would stand up here and there'd be shots fired at you. And then as all that was happening, apparently some guy started shooting on the shooting range just as practice for the day. And you've never seen NFL players just jump so quick. Like, for a quick second, I literally thought we were being shot at. And that was, that one got my heart going a little bit more than the rest, just because he was telling the story, but he was pointing out and he's saying, they'll shoot from over there and over there. And then all of a sudden, the guy back there is practicing his shot. And for a second, you freeze. And it was pretty funny. It was just a good moment. We went and visited one of the hospitals. And this is one of three boys that we met, men that we met, and the day before we got there, their truck had been hit by an IED, and their truck flipped, and they all got thrown, and luckily they all made it out alive, but they had cuts all over their face, and they had scrapes and stitches, and they were all torn up, and that was another one of those moments where you're looking like, this isn't TV, this isn't a movie, this is real life. One of the most impactful moments for me was when I got back to America a couple weeks later. There was a message, and it had a picture of me and the three kids, and it was from his mom, and his mom had written just to tell me a little bit. She said, "You visited my son the day after his crash." And she said, "You wouldn't believe how happy it made him. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking that time and visiting him." And that was pretty real. That was a special message for me to get. I mean, I love our military, and it makes my salute that much more meaningful. It makes Military Appreciation March that much more meaningful. It makes every time I see a soldier in the airport and saying thank you to them that much more meaningful. It just adds a lot of meaning to a lot of things, and it's something I'll last with the rest of my life.
All right, great stuff, J.J. Watt. We know the troops appreciated it, and I know J.J. had an awesome time. Look who we found straight from the Flamingos. We're putting him to work. Mark Vandermeer, he'll be back, as will I, with David Brady. Stay with us.
This portion of Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Houston Community College, the official education partner of the Houston Texans.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle, coming to you on location from the Houston Zoo. There's a look at Ty, who is the tallest Asian elephant in North America. Hi, everyone. Once again, welcome back. Patty Smith alongside the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. But we've got another voice of the Houston Texans right here, David Brady, PA announcer, also affiliated with the Houston Zoo. Davis, tell us how.
Well, I came to the zoo almost 5 years ago. It's a lifelong passion, lifelong love. I've been interested in animal and wildlife conservation my whole life. And when this opportunity came up, it was something I couldn't pass up.
David, you're not the voice of the Texans, but you're a voice of the Texans, okay? I'm a little sensitive about this, as you can tell. All right, in the stadium, Texans make a first down, you say?
That's good for another Houston Texans.
First down. And you know what? People come up to me all the time and they say, "Hey, say that first down thing." And I say, "That's not me. That's this guy, David Brady." So you get that a lot, right?
Well, I'm much more anonymous than you are.
I mean,
my name doesn't get used at the stadium much. So my face is not seen. As my mother says, I have a face made for radio. So it's good that people don't know who I am. So I don't get it nearly as much as you do, which is probably good.
Well, David, the Texans are a Houston institution. The Houston Zoo is, of course, a Houston institution. And give us a quick sense of how things have developed in recent years and where the zoo is at now overall.
Well, we're celebrating our 91st birthday this summer, and it's been the last 10 years in particular that the major changes have taken place. You see the elephant habitat here the McNairs generously helped provide. Also, we had the African Forest open up 2 years ago. We just announced a new expansion. Gorillas of African Forest are coming in 2 years. That project is ongoing. When you come to the zoo now, I think it's a much different look, a much different feel from what it was even 4 or 5 years ago, and certainly 10 years ago and 20 years ago. I think we're now one of the world-class zoos.
All right, great stuff. Before I let you both go, I've got to have a first down. I've got to have a rock and roll.
All right, you go ahead, David.
That is good for a Houston Texans.
First down.
And they scored. Rock and roll.
All right, we've got to take a timeout here on Texans Huddle. Thank you very much, David Brady. Don't go away. We'll be back with Mailbag as Texans Huddle rolls on.
Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network, and by Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle, wrapping up a great day out here at the Houston Zoo. It's been a lot of fun.
It has been a lot of fun, Patty. I've learned a lot about the animals, and I'd like to sign some of these animals to play.
What's been your favorite part, your favorite exhibit?
I like the giraffes an awful lot. You get very close to them, but the elephants, very impressive as well. And some of the things we didn't see, like gorillas, and, you know, they've got a lot of things happening here that are going to be emerging as the months roll on at the Houston Zoo.
Of course, the only way I agreed to do this show was if we avoided the reptile exhibit at all costs.
Oh, you scared of those?
You think?
Note to self.
All right, but it's always fun to wrap things up. Come on out here to the petting zoo. The little goats are out here. Mark and I are going to brush some goats as we do mailbag. Are you ready for some?
I am ready to brush goats and do mailbag. Multitasking.
All right, first question from Melissa. Where do you think the Texans will finish from a seeding standpoint this at the end of the season?
Well, Melissa, good question. As I brush this goat and ponder that, I'm thinking there's an assumptive element to that, and that is that the Texans will make the playoffs. It is not a birthright to make the postseason. It is very difficult. So I'll take it whichever way they can get it. But as we speak about this,
Denver looks pretty good to have the number one seed again in a lot of people's eyes, but you never know how it's going to play out. I still think the Patriots are going to somehow win the AFC East, even though they're going through all that trouble at the tight end position. As we all know, they still have Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. They'll find a way to get it done against that competition. Could be the Bengals winning the AFC North. I think the Texans could end up around 2 in the AFC. And I think I'll safely predict that right now, but talk to me after training camp, Patty, because a lot of things can happen.
I feel so short down here. Why are you so much taller?
I don't know. You want me to sit on the dirty ground?
All right, question number 3 from Austin. Will Randy Bullock be the only kicker going into the start of the season?
Well, Austin, great question, because as we all know, when the kicker doesn't do his job, he can end up being the GOAT. A lot of pressure on Randy Bullock this season, drafted in the first round last season, got hurt. We all know that Shane Graham did the job pretty well for the Houston Texans, but Randy Bullock, the only kicker through OTAs, and I don't think they're going to bring in another one. If they were going to do that, they would have done it already in the offseason practices. So it's Bullock or bust, or if he gets hurt, bring in a veteran.
Hey, I think my GOAT is done. He left me.
You got your GOAT.
He got my GOAT. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. I had a blast out here.
I did too. And let's go into some air-conditioned comfort, shall we?
Let's do so. We hope you all enjoyed the show, and we hope you enjoy your 4th of July and that it is safe and happy. Thanks for watching.
We love this news.
Yeah.